Hi, it's Heather McDonald. Please join me for my podcast, Juicy Scoop with Heather McDonald, because you know how much I love a juicy scoop. Besides talking about the hottest topics that intrigue me, I am also going to have great guests join me. Shannon Bedore on The Real Housewives of OC, telling us everything about what is going on with her life, as well as hilarious Chris Frangiola, who is my coworker and good friend from Chelsea lately. So please join us.
Yay! Download a new episode every Thursday at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.
Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who doesn't need Steve to tell me how I've burnt zero calories so far today, Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome to our Big Brother Monday voicemail show. And we are live here on Periscope on a Monday afternoon to talk about the week in Big Brother and answer your voicemails. And here with us is one of our fine, outstanding Big Brother live feed correspondents. Please welcome back to the show, Brent Wolgamott. Brent, how are you?
Rob, I can't believe it. We are finally alone. Just you and me.
Yes, yes. Finally, we are here to talk about our voicemails. And I was telling Brent before we came on, I've got a good batch of voicemails today. Good crop.
Good, but that's not where I was going, Rob. I said we're alone. I want to know what you're wearing.
Well, you're watching Periscope.
Oh, yes. I forgot about that. Yes. You know, I was listening just really quickly that I wanted to tell you this for a long time. I listened to one of your shows with Nicole, and she was talking about how all the gay guys tend to hit on you. And the reason why is because you're adorable. You're witty. You're funny. You've got a great smile. And you've got this impish quality that just makes it impossible not to like you. Yes. Like
Tyrion Lannister?
A bit. You know, you're just, it's like it's like the people in the Amazon, like they knew you betrayed them, but they couldn't hate you. You know, they just loved you anyway.
Okay. All right. Well, I don't betray the podcast listeners because you guys are all I have. So I'm not going anywhere.
And I'm not betraying them. I'm serving live feed of realness. The library is open today, okay. People.
Because people are accusing you of sucking kneecaps right now.
Oh, well, I love Rob, so okay. What can I tell you? He pays me a good fee, nothing.
All right, Brent. So let's talk about Big Brother. Of course, Sunday night, we had Shelly on the podcast. Shelly was worked up, right?
Loved Shelly. Can I just say I agree with Shelly that I know from personal experience that it is both fun and lucrative to be hashtag drilled by the doctor.
Okay. Yeah, she's the Maxter, I believe she said. I believe
yes,
that was.
I know there was a drilling reference in there somewhere, though. Yes. I know I didn't miss that.
Very clearly in my notes here, drilled by the Maxter is what she
all right,
said.
All right.
Not
well,
the
yeah.
not the Maxter. That would be other people in the history of Big Brother. But we had a fun show with Shelly. She was all worked up. Glad she was able to come on. That's always a fun podcast for me. I think this is, I guess, the third year in a row we do a podcast with Shelly, and she's always really, really good. The podcast she did during Big Brother 14 was actually one of the best ones I think we've done on Big Brother, where she was very open about the experience she went through with the whole Jeff and Jordan fans who were all upset with her about, you know, getting rid of Jeff during the double eviction. So that's a fun podcast. She always is a really good guest on the show. Very authentic. So good to hear from Shelly last night. We got a great show. Then coming up on Wednesday night, we're going to speak with Audrey. And I guess she has Clay visiting her. And Clay is going to be on the show also. That's sort of going to be a crazy show this Wednesday, right?
Crazy. I can't even believe that. I think, you know, when Clay was in the Big Brother house, he said that the one person he would not be friends with outside was Audrey. And this was after she already left. So he had no reason to be saying anything shady to her. So I find it enthralling that they're actually like getting along and are going to get together and do a podcast together.
Yeah. So that is going to be a lot of fun this Wednesday night coming up. That's going to be at 9:15 p.m. Eastern time. So good stuff coming up here on the podcast. So let's go ahead and get into this. Of course, every Monday, what we're going to do is we take your voicemails. It's at robiswebsite.com/voicemail or 323-282-RHAP. Got a lot of voicemails from you guys. We'll see how many of these that we can get to. Most of these are going to be non-spoiler stuff. So at some point, like when there's like, you know, 20 minutes or so left, I'll play the spoiler button and we can talk about what happened overnight. But we got a lot to cover. So why don't we jump into this? Are you ready?
I'm born ready, Rob. Let's go.
Okay. Let's start off with this question from Nathan.
Hey, Rob. What do you think about Austin's game? Do you think he has a good chance of winning if he makes it to the end with the Twins? I can easily see him winning the season, seeing how the whole power trio of the Aust Twins is by far the most powerful entity left in the game right now. What do you think? And what do you think about power trios? Could we see more of them in the future? Thanks, big fan. Love you.
Oh, not even a love you bae, just a regular love you.
Love you too, Nathan.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Love you, bae.
Love you too.
So, Brent, I want to continue this conversation. I think we touched on this a little bit on Thursday night with Ian, but you have become increasingly a fan of Austin's game. Correct me if I'm wrong.
No, you're correct. I actually have become a big fan of Austin's game.
Okay. So talk this through with me. And do you think that Austin has a chance to be the winner of Big Brother 17?
Yes, I do. And just to be clear to everybody, I'm not a fan necessarily of Austin the person. I think he's sort of delusional and a little bit gross, and I don't really care for him personally. But as a player, it's incredible to me that the house actually trusts him. And, you know, to a man, I don't think that they have done, I don't think that Austin has done anything to make anybody else distrust him. And that's something big, because I was listening to James and Meg talking today about, you know, we have to eventually split up Austin and the Twins eventually, and they didn't want to go against them. And the reason that they said that was because, well, they've been loyal to us. And I think that they sort of got that wrong, that Austin hasn't been loyal to James and Meg, but he hasn't had a chance to be disloyal to James and Meg. And that's the big difference. He's gotten a little lucky, especially this week, that things have worked out the way they did and that they made an alliance together. But I don't think he's true to them, but they think he is. And I think that speaks well to his game.
Do you think that Austin has positioned himself well, and not necessarily that this was his intention, but do you feel like the other people in the house don't see him as a person who is trying to win the game? They see him as a person who is trying to get with Liz?
Right. I think that they dismiss him. And I remember your podcast with Eric Stein, where he talked about dismissing people. And I think that people in the house may be dismissing Austin a little bit. And that is going to come back to bite them, because it's true. I don't think he did any of this willingly. I don't think he did any of this on purpose, where he's gotten himself into a relatively powerful position in the house. I think it's been through the mistakes of other people that he is where he is. And it's through the bad gameplay of other people that he's in a powerful three-way alliance, which week ago, I told you that I didn't think that Julia was necessarily with Austin. I thought she was more with Vanessa, but I'm going to have to amend that. I do think that Julia trusts Austin more than she trusts Vanessa right now, because of some of the things that have come out earlier this week.
To answer this first part of the question, can Austin win this game?
Yes, I do believe that Austin can win the game, and I don't even necessarily think that it's going to be relative to the person he's sitting next to. I think there are people he has a better chance against, but I do think that Austin, at the end of the game, could be a winner, because he's a relatively warm person. He hasn't betrayed too many people. He's not particularly threatening when it comes to comps. And I always think that someone's going to take out Liz before they take out Austin. And I think someone's going to take out Julia before they take out Austin. So it's going to be intriguing to see if he can get to the end. You know, he's a fan of Big Brother, and I'm hoping if he gets to the end that he will know what to say to the jury, and he'll know what they want to hear, and more importantly, what they don't want to hear.
A lot of voicemails today about Austin and the Twins. Let's play one that comes from the perspective of something that Shelley had to say about them. Now, Brent, this was the first week that we did our exit interviews that were via email with the people that are going into jury. Obviously, right. We did, even though we talked to the jury people on Big Brother Canada, in the Big Brother US, we're not allowed to do any phone interviews. So we end up emailing questions. We get them back. Alex Kidwell and I read the answers from our interview questions on Friday. And this is a question from Ryan that has to do with one of Shelley's answers concerning the Twins from our exit interview. Here's Ryan.
Hey, Rob and Brent. This is Ryan calling from Nova Scotia, Canada.
So while responding to your exit interview questions the other day, Shelley indicated that she wished someone would have the balls to split up Austin and the twins. This really stood out to me and struck me as an odd thing for her to say, since she was arguably the biggest supporter of helping Liz survive the first five evictions to get Julia in the house. I'm interested to hear your guys' thoughts on this. Do you think there was something specific that happened that would have changed her opinion on this and on the twins? Thanks a lot. Bye.
Okay, so just let me give you the quote from Shelley. So the question that we had sent in was, who were you most hoping to see follow you out the door and why? She said, if it was Vanessa or James, I would like the fact that only one of us has to go back in, but at the same time, if I get back in the game, I'd like to have them as my targets. I feel like Austin and the twins are just coasting along at this point, and it would be nice to see someone have the balls to split them up.
Right. I think this is something that falls under the category of regret. You know, Shelley said in a later question that she regretted not saving Jason and saving Austin that week. I think that Shelley is annoyed, and rightfully so, that she, relative to everybody else in the Alliance, her and Clay had maybe, they didn't have the majority of the pull when it came to saving Austin that week. They had a big part of it. I think they wanted to save Austin for numbers, but they weren't the ones pushing for Jason to go up as the replacement nominee. But it really came back all on them. And I think that was the result of their bad gameplay after the veto meeting, where they pretended that they didn't know anything. They pretended that they didn't have anything to do with it. And then, of course, you know, everything comes out with the wash. And she knows she played that badly. And so she's looking at it like, you know, we saved Austin and the twins, and they're in the game and no one's coming after them, and I did everything to save him and now I'm out of the house. So how is that fair? I think she's looking at it from a regret standpoint, not necessarily from a game standpoint. Because from a game standpoint, I think it would be good for her if they were still in the house when she got back.
So you don't feel like she's going to be targeting either of any of the Aust twins. She just needs all the allies she can get if she gets back in the house.
I agree, but I also think that she would be fine if somebody else went after them. We're going to be down to eight people after this week, and that's three people in a pretty big alliance that, you know, controls a lot of the votes there. So it's so funny. Everybody in the house says the same thing, which is they want to go after Austin and the twins, but they don't want to be the ones to do it. And somebody's going to have to step up and do it. I just don't know how it's going to get done. Otherwise, you're going to end up with, you know, Austin and the twins in the final four.
Do you think that Shelley feels like, hey, how come me and Clay had to get broken up, but Austin and Liz get to stay and be together into the jury?
Oh, I'm sure she's insanely bitter about that. She and Clay probably had something that was probably more real and more authentic than anything that Austin and Liz.
How dare
have.
You, sir?
Well, I'm telling you, you know, we can talk about Liz and what some of the things that she's been doing lately with Austin, but I really think that's more Stockholm syndrome, where, you know, you're trapped with somebody for so long. Yes. Oh my God. You're trapped with somebody. Real talk, Rob. She's trapped with somebody for so long. He's the only guy in the house who she can cuddle with relatively. And he starts to look pretty good. I mean, I know from personal experience when I was like 18 and there were only a few guys who knew I was gay, and, you know, that's all the choices that I had. They weren't particularly good looking, but considering their only choices I had, they looked pretty good. So I'm just, that's how it goes in the world.
It's a very confusing metaphor now.
Well, you know, if you don't have a lot of choices, other people start to look pretty good.
Brent,
you know?
It seems like you're advocating for the stalkers out there. It's like, well, if you just keep somebody, you know, confined with you for long enough, eventually they'll go for you because there won't be anybody else around.
Well, I'm just saying that I do think, real talk. No way in the world does Austin have a chance with someone as gorgeous as Liz in the real world. No way in hell.
I mean, that you're making it like Austin is like some hideous guy. I mean, he's a professional wrestler. He's getting really good. He's in really good shape.
No.
He's tall. I mean, he's got some things going for him.
Yeah, he's got a hat that doesn't fit. That's what he's got going for him. No, I'm serious. Austin, first of all, it's not about me. Liz said in week five that Austin is not her type. He's gross. She's not into him. She assured Julia. She assured Vanessa she's not really into him. She was ready to evict him. And then it's sort of, they thought about the numbers and things sort of changed. And now she's been with him all this time. And she realizes, I heard what you said on your previous podcast that I don't know if this is necessarily real on Liz's part. I think it's maybe a bit of strategy that she doesn't want to look like
acting, I heard.
Yeah, that she right. That she doesn't want to look like a total B, you know, in front of America, that she's that this guy is so loyal to her and she's totally using him. So now she's trying to like smooth it over and make it look good. But I don't believe that there's anything real there. And I think going back to the original part of the question, Shelley doesn't understand why these people are relatively cozy in the game. She won those HOHs. They did nothing. She protected them. And now they're in the game and she had to pay the price for it. It's just totally unfair to her. And I see why.
Let's keep going with Austin and the twin talk. This is on a lot of people's minds because people are saying like, hey, there's not that many weeks left and this is a big group of people in the house and nobody's going for them. Here's right. Joel.
What's up, Rob? Joel here from Canada. And I had a question about the twins. So I know the twin twist has been kind of a dud this year, and unlike in the first twin twist, the twins haven't really been targeted this season. My question is the house letting them win? I saw Andy said on Twitter that the twins are going to be thanking everyone when they're the final two. And honestly, everyone laughs about the twins being the final two, but it seems like both sides of the house are going after each other, and I don't see anyone coming for the twins anytime soon. I know Liz has the HOH this week, so that might make a little bit more of a target on her, but really, do you think someone's going to go for them before Vanessa, Austin? Let me know what you think. Love the show. See ya. Bye-bye.
All right. Are we headed towards the twins ultimately winning the season, Brent?
It's a possibility. In fact, I would bet a not insignificant amount of money that one of them is in the final two. Rob, these people, where's that Jeremy clip? These people are so stupid.
No, it's dumb.
These guys dumb. Are so dumb.
Yes, dumb. Okay. I was listening on the feeds the last 24 hours, and James and Meg are talking about how, you know, well, I really like this group with Austin and the twins, us five together, you know, brass tacks. And I was listening to Steve and J-Mac talking about how, you know, no one's going to finish the job. And he's like, what do you mean? And he's like, no one's going to go after James and Meg. We really need to make sure that we're the ones to do it. And I'm like, what are you people doing? It's boggling to me that you can be so dumb that there's these three people who will never turn on each other and you're letting them continue into the game. And they're not stupid either. Liz or Julia or possibly even Austin could win a final four veto. And I just don't understand why that these people aren't sizing up their competition and going, you know what? I'd rather go with these people rather than these people. They're inseparable. They're absolutely inseparable. I don't understand. And that's a testament to their game or maybe to the stupidity of the other house guests. But I don't think that Steve and Johnny Mac are stupid. So that's where I'm having a bit of a problem.
I was listening to the Big Brother Happy Hour with Jordan Parhar this weekend, and he had on Peter Brown and Alec Beal from Big Brother Canada, The Shield. And I thought that Peter Brown made a really good point about the twins, where he said that the twins aren't dumb, but
no,
they have an air about them that they are dumb. They talk like,
oh my God.
Oh my God. This is so dumb. This is so boring. And it is sort of shorthand when you hear somebody talk like that for a person who's unintelligent. And they also have the look of the blonde bikini model who was found on a boat by Portia. Right. And they have that sort of look about them that you don't assume that they are intelligent, and there's two of them. They seem not threatening. And I think that the house, going back to what you were talking about with what Eric Stein was talking about, is that I think people are dismissing them and Austin. Oh, he just wants to hook up with Liz. Oh, the twins, you know, they're just the twins. And I feel like that nobody is concerning themselves with them. And they're just going to reach a point in the game where once that point of no return happens, they've just got the game. It's really, unless somebody wins that last HOH at like, or HOH at four or veto at four, there's nothing people are going to be able to do. They've just got it on lockdown.
Right. Here's the thing. I understand to a point why James and Meg want would rather go moving forward with Austin and the twins rather than Steve and Johnny Mack, who are two relatively smart guys. However, I do not understand for the life of me why Steve and Johnny Mack would want to go after two relatively harmless people in James and Meg and not try to split up Austin and the twins. They know that James doesn't study. I mean, he kind of brags about it. He doesn't know anything about the days. He doesn't know anything about the Jedi drilling. He doesn't do any of that sort of stuff. Sometimes they force him to do it, but he's terrible at it in general. And I don't understand why they wouldn't want to go to the Final Four with them rather than with Austin and the twins. I know that they have an air of dumbness about them, or, you know, they're a bit vapid, but I don't buy that, and I don't think that they do either. So I don't understand why they don't want to take them out. I mean, I was listening to James and Meg talking in the I think it was the hammock room or the have not room today about the fact that, you know, eventually one of us is going to have to go after Austin and the twins. And they said, but it's too soon. And they both agreed, oh yeah, it's too soon. There's eight people left. What are you doing? Oh, Rob, I lose my mind.
The thing that I don't understand is that the show made such a big point last night of showing us about how Steve and James are such good friends.
Are you guys like bays now? Like, what's going on?
Like, they're bays now. And so you also have that Steve is good friends with Johnny Mack. Why can't Steve be the bridge between James and Johnny Mack?
I mean, it's possible, but, you know, James was saying either today or last night on the feeds that he is really afraid of Steve because he's really smart and he wants to get him out. I'm like, but, you know, first of all, these competitions are not rocket science. You know, I mean, you can, it's okay. I think that Liz or Julia are capable of winning a Final Four veto or a Final Six veto or whatever the heck, you know, it comes out.
Sure. I mean, Liz has won the HOH this week.
I don't understand why they are they're utterly dismissing the twins and Austin, and they're totally focused on but they're somewhat focused on Johnny Mack and Steve. And I think that's a testament to Austin's game, his ability to schmooze people, which is a quality that some people have, and he's able to get them to think, you know, we're loyal to you because we haven't put you up. Little do James and Meg know that if the veto had been won by either Johnny Mack or Becky this week, if it's won by Johnny Mack or Becky this week, then they're probably going to go up as a replacement. But, you know, they don't know that because that situation hasn't come up yet. So, like I said before, it goes back to the fact that they aren't Austin and the twins aren't necessarily loyal to them, but they haven't been disloyal to them. And that's a big, they can't seem to separate that.
Let's do one more question about the twins and Austin.
Oh, let's. Yes. Oh, yes, please.
And this is a question from Johnny, not Mac.
Hey, Rob. I called in a while ago to discuss the house's collective decision to ignore the twin twist and just let them come into the game. Now that we know an eliminated house guest is likely coming back into the game, it seems even sillier that everyone just allowed this to happen. With the exception of Austin, for now, everyone now has to survive an extra elimination as well as competing against a strong voting block. Additionally, if one of the twins gets to the end of the game, they likely have two votes in the bank for them. We could possibly be looking at one of the worst house decisions in Big Brother history, and to me, it looked pretty bad at the time too, because I was under the assumption it was either going to be an extra twin or a buyback, and I'd probably want to have a chance at the buyback if I was a player. What do you think?
Okay.
Okay,
Brian. So first off, is John correct in saying that the twin decision was terrible, or is he just calling in to say I told you so because he said originally that it was a bad idea and it's not that bad?
Well, here's the thing. It's a terrible idea from what we knew, from us on the outside, but to the house guests on the inside, you have to look at it from their perspective. I actually kind of agreed with at least part of the people in the house agreeing to keep the twins safe. And here's the reason why. Because Shelly, Clay, Vanessa, the twins, and Austin were all concerned that if the twins were eliminated and the other one couldn't come back into the game, that there would be a buyback from the pre-jurors. They didn't know that they were not being sequestered. They didn't know that that wasn't a possibility. You know, we've seen it before where pre-jurors have come back into the game many, many times in Big Brother has that happen.
Sure.
So I understood where they were coming from in that they know that there's a certain amount of weeks to fill and airtime to fill. If one of the twins gets evicted, somebody else from the pre-juror is probably going to come back into the game, or it could be somebody from the jury coming back into the game. Little did we know that that was actually going to happen anyway. But I understood from their perspective, it's the devil you know against the devil you don't know. And they didn't know what could happen if they evicted the twins and somebody like Davon comes back with a vengeance. Now, we know on the outside that, you know, homegirl's at home, she's chilling, but from what they know, she could be in sequester plotting their demise.
Yeah.
So I got it what they were doing. It's just they didn't, you know, Big Brother is a game of incomplete information. They have incomplete information, and so they're making a call based on that. We know all the information. We know all, so we're criticizing them for that, and I don't think that's necessarily fair.
Just going back to this idea of, well, either a twin is going to come back into the house or there's going to be a buyback. How did we end up in a situation where a twin came into the house and there's a buyback?
That's, first of all, when Julie Chen said, and this is why I've told you before that I'm still not convinced someone's coming back, but I guess it, so many people said so many things at this point where it seems like it's almost a self-fulfilling prophecy at this point. Like Julie's asked them about it when they've been coming out of the house and she hasn't poo-pooed that. So I guess there's a I guess somebody from the jury is going to come back into the house. I know that Julie said it the same way as she said it last year, where, you know, just because you're evicted doesn't mean you're out of the game. But I always thought that there could be a twist. And there were people on Twitter who supported me who said, you know, I agree with you that I don't think it's necessarily true that somebody else is coming back into the game. But I don't know how we ended up in it. Well, I do know how we ended up in a situation where, one, a twin came into the house, and two, we have a buyback because CBS is freaking greedy, and they want to fill more airtime. They want more Big Brother shows. I mean, I was looking back that like Big Brother 13 was like, I don't know, 70 days long, and now we have Big Brother that's like 97 days long. I mean, come on, like it's crazy. I can't even believe that they're doing it this year.
Okay, so we'll see exactly what happened. Did you feel like it was the major mistake of the season to let there be another twin in the house? If the twins go back and win this season, should these players be beating themselves up for letting Julia come in?
I don't think that they should be beating themselves up too much because they didn't know what would happen if we evict her. They probably, like I said, they probably thought if we evict her, one of the people we just evicted, like Jason or Davon or Jace, could come back in the house and just absolutely kill us. Where, you know, the twins, we know they like us. So, you know, now the people on the other side of the house, I think that they're the people who should have gotten Liz out. On the other hand, they never really got power those first few weeks, so that's part of the problem.
Let's go ahead and let's take another question. Okay, let's stay with Austin, but not so much about the twins.
Do I have to?
Yes, fine. Yes. You'll like this one.
All right.
This is from our good friend, Kelsby Red has a question.
Hi, Rob and Brent. This is Kelsby Red. Brent, you specifically asked for questions that throw some shade.
Shade, mama.
I have so much shade. I roll with the car window suction cup shades in my car, and I don't even have kids. Anyway, I saw Austin yesterday sporting not just his chin beard rubber band, but a total of 5 hair bands throughout his hair. What is that?
Yeah, what is that?
What style advice would you give him? Someone needs to help this man.
Brent, do you have any styling advice for Austin?
Well, he's not looking fierce and feeling gorgeous. I'll just tell you that right now. I don't know. I saw that yesterday, and I was like, it's some weird Fu Manchu thing he's got going on where he's trying to like braid his beard or something. I think he's trying to like look better to Liz because she was critical of him a few days ago about how she didn't really like the beard and she wanted to get rid of it and the ponytail too as well. So, you know, I think this is just like, I mean, Kels, I'm just telling you, they're bored, okay? There's no more strategy to go on for the rest of the week. They know what's going to happen. They're just
Is the tinfoil pottery collection, is that the ultimate sign of how bored these people are?
Oh my gosh, have you seen this one? Did you see the Audrey one?
I did. It was pretty good.
It was really good. I loved it. Oh my gosh. They're bored out of their minds. This is where, you know, it's so funny because last week we had, we couldn't wait till after the veto meeting. We were all glued to our computers to see, you know, when the feeds came back up after the veto ceremony. And this week, not so much. So that's Big Brother from week to week for you.
So are you out on the rubber bands? Should he just let that wild mane flow?
I mean, I'm out on the whole look in general, as I've said previously, but he's bored, so I understand why he's doing it.
You guys are too hard on Austin.
I know. We are. It's the problem for us, Rob, is that we can't look at Austin and not be a little bit skeeved out because he was just going on about how, you know, he was in love with Liz and you know, he knew that she could feel it too. And he's looking at the camera and there's this weird music that's swelling. And then, you know, cut to Liz saying, you know, he's gross. I don't like him. I've never been into him. It's like, you know, buddy, you're delusional. She's not into you.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Okay.
Oh, yes. Love her.
All right. So we started talking about the James and Steve bromance. And we actually have a question from Alice who wants to talk about this James and Steve bromance and feels like maybe we've seen this before.
Hi, Robin Brent. This is Alice calling from Chicago. My question is, after the scene we saw last night showing James and Steve's unlikely budding friendship, are they now the JT and Steven that suck? Are country bumpkins named James inherently drawn to nerdy East Coasters named Steven? And what are the chances of James and Steve making it to the final two with James winning by a unanimous vote? Thanks, and keep up the great work.
All right. I think that, first of all, James in the final two, I am all for. I love James. He makes me laugh. He makes me smile. I think he's got a good heart. I know it's so funny that he doesn't know anything about the Big Brother game as far as Jedi drilling or trivia or anything he's probably going to need to know when it comes down to Final Five or Final Four veto, but he just doesn't care. He's just going to throw some things up there. He doesn't really care. I love the friendship between them. I don't know that it's going to hold because, as I said, like he was talking about actually getting Steve out. I think he's a little threatened by him, and I don't think Steve is doing as good a job as Steve thinks he is about hiding how smart he is. Steve on the feeds last night was saying that, you know, he thinks he's in a relatively good position. He was, you know, he's trying to throw that HOH before because he doesn't want the house to know how smart he is. But they're on to him. I feel like the train has left the station on that one. So
I want to throw up.
Yes. Yes. I agree. And it's so funny, you know, he said that he was actively trying to throw that one.
Do you
and
buy
I
just that? Find,
I don't know. I think he's been hanging around Vanessa too long. Like, I think he started to believe his own BS at this point because he was talking to the feeders when he said that. And, you know, the only thing that I can tell you is that maybe in his heart of hearts, he wanted to throw it, but it was the moment and he didn't have time to really quickly think about, okay, who's left and who's not and who do I need to still fear from at this point?
Yeah.
So I sort of think like it's a little bit of retroactive, he's fixing his own memory. Like I remember it this way, but it's not really that way.
So let's just play out. It's James versus Steve in the final two. Does that keep up the James versus Steve final two tradition? Is it a sweep for James?
No, I don't think so.
The guy named Steve gets zero votes?
No, I think Steve is, first of all, Steve is, you know, I was listening to someone in our patron group, I think it was Brian Gold, talking about how if he thinks that Steve's going to have a problem if he gets to the end because he thinks that, you know, Steve's made too many deals with people and that he's not, you know, he's going to have to pay for that in the end. But I think Steve has the quality that you have, Rob, which was just he has an ability to betray people and they still don't, they just can't blame him for it. You know, they still like him. Oh, just, I'm serious.
We're
hear me
too carried away here, Brian.
I'm serious. Okay. Hear
first
me
off,
out.
I'm not betraying that many people.
Well, you betrayed for quite a few people in the Amazon.
Who?
Dina, Alex.
Okay. And those guys,
Christy.
They got voted out. I didn't get away with anything.
I know, but I'm saying if you made it to the final two, though, those I think you would have won. In fact, I think even, you know, I mean, we would know that you would have won. So what I'm trying to say is if Steve gets the final two, I don't think that him betraying people is going to come back to bite him because I think it's very hard for people to hate Steve. I know I don't even particularly care for Steve, and I find it impossible to hate Steve because he seems so earnest, and I know he's a fan, And I think if he gets to the, end with James, he's going to know what to say in order to make the jury happy. And more importantly, he knows what not to say. He knows what they don't want to hear about loyalty and integrity. And, you know, I was true to you and that sort of thing. I think he's going to own his game, and he's relatively well spoken in the diary room. So I would not want to sit in the final two with Steve. Yes, I agree. I see Periscope is saying Steve is so annoying. He is annoying, but that doesn't speak to his game. He's annoying to us on television, but from a game perspective, I definitely think he could win in a final two. I think he could beat James.
We will see. We'll see. You know, the key to betraying people and getting back in their good graces is that they have to really like you first.
I think that's people really do like one. Steve. I think most people... I think he's coming around. He didn't come around as quickly as Ian did during his season, whereas I think, you know, Ian had the house in the palm of his hand by, say, like week three or week four, whereas Steve, I don't think he has them in the palm of his hand, but it's getting there. People like Steve. They think he's, you know, they trust him. Even the double eviction things that happened, they don't blame him. They blame Vanessa for that, and Steve knows that. So I think he's sitting pretty well if he gets to the end. And I think... people have made a genuine bond with him, whereas there's other people in the house like Vanessa or maybe the twins that people haven't made an authentic bond with. And that's important. When you get to the end of the game in Big Brother, people have to like you. They have to feel good about giving you the money.
Okay.
Oh, I'm getting lots of hearts. Yay, I'm getting lots of hearts on Periscope for that. Hey, hearts, love you. Yes.
Yes. Keep them coming. Give Brent all your hearts on Periscope. Okay.
Yes, I hear somebody on Periscope says, yes, but he's played zero games. That is not true. Steve has not played zero game. Steve is playing all the time. He's thinking about where he wants to position himself in the house. Just because he's relatively floating does not mean he's not playing. He's not a non-entity. He's not a houseplant. He's a player.
Let's go to another question. This is from Jennifer, who... has a indictment of this season's players.
Hey, this is Jen from Virginia, just calling to find out if anybody else has found that all the Big Brother contestants are boring and annoying. I know their gameplay isn't so boring, but Shady. Them as people, very boring. I thought Austin would be interesting, but he has been nothing but a lovesick puppy dog this entire season. I know.
Oh.
Everybody thinks. Thanks. Bye.
All right. Do you agree with Jennifer that all the players this season are boring and annoying?
Well, Jennifer, I love you, but girl, this has not been a boring season and the people are not boring. I actually am very tickled by the people who are in the house still. I mean, even though Austin is a lovesick puppy dog, he does make me laugh because he's such a lovesick puppy dog, and I think that's sort of endearing. You know, Julia, I love for her inherent bitchiness. Liz, I love her for stringing Austin along. James makes me laugh. Meg, you know, of the people in the house, Meg's probably the one I have the least use for.
Why? Because
everything she says about the game for the most part is wrong. Like when she was the one poo-pooing the fact that Vanessa and Austin were working together, she just doesn't know what she's talking about for the most part. And it's really disturbing to me that she's probably going to go to the end of the game. Because
Grandma gets cranky sometimes.
Yeah, she gets cranky sometimes. She gets mad at them for calling her grandma, and then she walks like she walked in that slip and slide competition.
Yeah, but don't get on her for having bad knees.
I'm not getting on her, but she's being defensive about it. And I'm like, well, either own it or not. Like, you were walking like a grandma in the slip and slide competition. Own the fact that you're a grandma.
She did. Yeah. She says she gets cranky sometimes.
No, apparently they played grandma as the some sort of country song with the word grandma in it over the live feeds today. And she was like, was that about me? I'm like, no, girl, it was about Vanessa. What are you talking about? Of course it was about you.
The best players in the season, are they all boring and annoying? Your answer is
no.
Right?
No. What are you talking about? Last season was boring and annoying. I mean, I love Derek and his gameplay was immaculate, but it was an incredibly boring season and the people were relatively boring, maybe besides Beast Mode Cowboy.
Well, maybe boring is the wrong word. Maybe we could say last season was predictable and this season, week to week, is much harder to predict what is going to happen. So I feel like you cannot say that the season is boring. I guess she feels like the actual people themselves are boring. Do you give any credence to that?
No, I don't, because I find the people...
Could you be boring and unpredictable?
Can you be boring and unpredictable? No, I think by nature, if you're unpredictable, you're not boring. So I don't see how those two things can go hand in hand. I mean, I think that she's trying to say that the players themselves are boring, but I'm like, well, what? And I hear what she's saying, but what do you want from these players? Like, you know, they're stuck in a house together. They can only talk so much strategy. Vanessa talks all the strategy for them. So I don't know what else to say. Like, they're providing us with great TV. They're funny on the feeds. They're always playing pranks on each other. I mean, they're not in there talking about war and peace, but yeah. What do you expect of them?
Let me give you something that might be a little bit of a hot take. How about this? Last season had bigger characters who were sort of just being led to the slaughter by Derek. While this season, the personalities, the characters themselves are not as big and as broad or as dynamic, but the game is a lot more interesting.
I could somewhat co-sign that.
I mean, if you're going to just compare them in terms of big personalities in the house, and you have a Zach, and you have a Frankie Grande, and you have a Caleb, and you have, who else am I not thinking of?
I think that was about it.
There's some other people that are big personalities. Whereas this season, you know, you have Johnny Mack, who is, you know, certainly likable, but I think there were bigger characters in that house.
I guess, but I think
but the game was much more predictable.
Right. I think that Vanessa is sucking up a lot of the TV oxygen in the room. And I just think that she's a focal point of so much of the angst and drama that's going on in the house that if it doesn't involve Vanessa, we're kind of bored from a strategy and from a game standpoint. So maybe that has something to do with it. I can't really co-sign the fact that that last year's contestants were such big personalities. I mean, I found most of them to be relatively boring, and I'm enthralled by the people this season.
Boring in terms of the game, but if you were just going to go by characters, I think that you have some bigger personalities in the house last year.
Okay, I take your point.
Yeah. I'm not saying that I think this season has been a lot more exciting than last season, but I think in terms of the actual, if you were a casting person and you looked at the people that were in the Big Brother 16 house, I think you would say, oh, I think that cast is going to be more entertaining.
Yeah, I'd say so. I mean, the people left in this Big Brother house who are really entertaining are probably Vanessa, James, and maybe to an extent, Johnny Mack. And that's about it. I mean, you know, I love watching Steve. I love watching the twins. I love watching Austin, but they're not necessarily big characters. Whereas last season, maybe had some more.
Okay. Let's take another question. This is from Dan, and I want to ask you about this, Brent, because I know you are very familiar with the world of poker and Vanessa's poker playing career. So this is a question that deals with that. This is from Dan.
Hey, Rob, it's Dan from Canada, and my question relates to Vanessa's brand. As you've mentioned in your show, Vanessa's very aware of her image in the poker world. She's carefully cultivated a specific look and persona that she upkeeps at all times. Do you think that Vanessa's poker table image will be negatively impacted by her stay in the Big Brother house where, let's face it, she seemed to be a little cray-cray, to say the least?
So Dan didn't have a great connection, so I'll just cut his question a little bit short because I think we got what he's saying. Do you think that there will be any ramifications for Vanessa outside of the game in the poker world where it seems like she really does care very much about her image and how she's perceived and she comes into the house with a look and a persona? Do you think that there will be any ill effects on her poker playing career based on her stint in Big Brother?
No, I don't think there will be. I think that Vanessa knew what she signed up for when she signed up for the Big Brother game. I think she wanted a little bit of exposure, and I think she wanted to get her image out there. I think that maybe she's going to be a bit surprised when she comes out of the house and sees how many people actively dislike her, which is something I don't think she gets in poker. You know, in poker, people root for her because, you know, in poker is a male-dominated sport, and, you know, she's one of the few relatively, please don't get mad at me. I know there's quite a few good women poker players, but as far as, you know, notoriety goes, there's relatively few women poker players who, you know, get a lot of TV time and who've won a lot of these televised TV tournaments. So people root for her in the poker world, but I think she's going to have a lot of haters when she comes out of the Big Brother house. And that's probably going to hurt her more than anything.
Yeah, I can almost see her being one of these people that really has nothing to do with Big Brother after this is all over and just is somebody who is goes back into the poker world. Kind of like maybe how a Jean Robert is with Survivor. Like he really is just doing all things poker and not really involved with the Survivor community at all. I feel like that could be where Vanessa ultimately lands. And I think that Vanessa is a lot bigger of a threat to win the game than Jean Robert ever was in Survivor. But I feel like that she will definitely distance herself from Big Brother after this is over.
I don't know. I think she will. I think maybe Big Brother is pretty, I don't know. Well, I was going to say Big Brother's more addicting, but we have had plenty of Survivor people who want to come back. So
and it depends how it works out. I mean, if she wins the season, I think she'll be looked at in a different light than she is ultimately right now.
Right. It's going to, her tale is not yet written, I think. But I would say, you know, when you're talking about Vanessa getting to the final two, I don't think she has a good chance to win. I really don't. Okay. Because she hasn't made good bonds with people. She can't talk to them about anything that doesn't relate to the game. She just, you know, she'll have a conversation with you. I watch her on the feeds and a minute goes by and she's like, okay, let me tell you something. You know, she wants to talk about the game. She wants to talk about a move. She can't just relax. Chill, girl, chill, you know. And I don't think she has a good shot to win.
Okay. We'll talk about winner picks in a little bit.
Okay.
Let me go into another question. This is one from Andra. Andra has a question
that
she really needs the answer to.
I have it.
This season. About the players from this season. Here is Andra.
Hey, Robin Brent. This is Andra Feldman from San Jose, California. My question is, which BB17 house guest is most likely to make it onto the Andy Heron beef list? Thanks. Love you, bae.
Love you, bae. That's right. Okay. So,
love you, bae.
Let me just set the stage here a little bit for what she's talking about. Andrea wants to know which of the house guests this season from BB17 are most likely to make it to the Andy Heron beef list. Now, if you don't know what we're talking about, over the weekend, Andy Heron on his blog, the winner of Big Brother 15 and a great friend of RHAP, he posted on his blog, which is andyheron.wordpress.com, a list of the people that have either blocked or unfollowed him on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes into the reasons why for each of the people, but it was something that had generated a bit of controversy over the weekend. So the order that he lists people, and I won't get into all the reasons, I'm not Vanessa. So he lists number one is Nick Juhas and says, because I guess he made fun of Nick Juhas in the house all summer and Nick Juhas doesn't want anything to do with him. Number two is Will Weichel.
Mm-hmm.
And then whatever. Jeff Schroeder. He doesn't really understand why he doesn't get along with Jeff Schroeder.
Mm-hmm.
But Jeff Schroeder doesn't follow him. Derek and Cody, they share a spot. They're number four. I feel like they should have each gotten their own block, but I guess that they unfollowed Andy because he said that Big Brother 16 was boring.
Which it was.
I mean, don't want to have to hear that from Andy.
Right, I understand. And I don't,
that's
you know,
their right.
Right, but it was boring. And that's a testament to Derek's play. Why can't he take that as a compliment? You know, I understand. I mean, the fact that if the game had been chaotic, I don't think Derek would have won. You know, the fact that Derek played such a phenomenal game is the reason why his season was boring.
Yeah.
It takes a special kind of person to be able to play a game like Derek did, to control it from start to finish, basically, and still entertain the masses. There's only a few people in the world who could do that.
Okay. Number five on the list was Zach Rantz. He actually unfollowed Zach Rantz first, and then Zach Rantz unfollowed him back. I find it hard to believe that Zach Rantz was following Andy at any point, but Zach Rantz is out on Andy, and Andy's out on Zach. Evil Dick, this is not really a surprise. They've been feuding on Twitter for a long time, Evil Dick and Andy.
Right.
Number seven is Reagan Fox, and this is probably the person who took the most offense to this list And we'll touch on that. And then Danielle Murphy and whatever with Danielle Murphy. But
yeah, who?
Oh. Yeah. And then Reagan, he got annoyed about this. So then he posted a blog on his blog and he made fun of Andy. And then Andy posted another blog responding to Reagan's blog about Andy's blog.
Mm-hmm.
So the Andy beef list is growing. First, let's just answer the question. And then I have some thoughts on this.
Yes, I'd love to talk about it.
Okay. Which Big Brother 17 house guest is most likely to end up on the Andy beef list?
I think the people that just take themselves a little too seriously, and by that I mean Vanessa, is definitely likely to end up on the beef list.
Yeah.
And I think that, I don't know, I think everyone else is pretty chill. I mean, you know, James, Meg, Johnny Mac, Steve, I mean, the twins, they're all pretty chill. They're not going to take themselves too seriously once the game is over. And I think they'll own most of the fact that the fact that the season has been great so far is a testament to them. So, you know, I can't imagine they're going to be too offended by anything.
So what about Audrey? Could Audrey find herself in a beef with Andy at some point?
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, they're both bitchy and shady and they like to spout off and just, you know, get attention on Twitter. So I think that maybe they're fine right now, but it's not going to take much to push them over the edge.
And what about Shelly? Is Shelly a person who is a candidate?
Oh, well, yeah, possibly. I mean, I think Andy hasn't been too supportive of Shelly in general. So it's just, yeah, I don't know. I'm hoping that Shelly comes out and really just kind of, you know, appreciates the experience for what it was and is able to laugh about it. But I don't know. She still seems like she's taking everything pretty seriously.
Here's what I want to know. This is the part of this that's all very interesting to me. Why did Andy feel the need to come out and publish a lengthy post about who doesn't follow him and who he has beef with? Isn't that a bad idea?
Because he's an attention whore. And that's okay. I am too. Like, I'm not calling Andy anything that I'm not, okay? But he's an attention whore. I think Andy went into the Big Brother house. He played exactly the game that he wanted to play. He could see it from start to finish, and amazingly, it worked out exactly as it did in his dream. The only problem is, when he came out of the house, he expected people to be like, "Oh my God, you played such an amazing game," and people were like, "Ah, we hate you. Be gone." You know, so. Yeah. I think that's part of the problem, that Andy sees the ending as, you know, the people cheering for the gay guy who controlled everything from start to finish, whereas everybody else sees him like, oh, you're the rat floater who we didn't even like, you know?
But to me, what was so smart about Andy's game is that he was able to manipulate what was going on without getting blood on his hands. And it seems to me doing something like this would be the antithesis of what he was able to do in the Big Brother house, where he excelled at being under the radar, somebody who was stealth and somebody who was controlling things and people didn't realize he was doing it and not getting that blood on his hands. And here he's like,
I love blood. Okay. All right. Well, I'll take blood and I wiped it like war paint.
Yes.
Like war paint. And so people have said, and people are saying to me on Periscope, well, it's because he gets asked all the time. Oh, who, you know, and he doesn't want to answer it all the time. But I'm really, people are always asking, Andy, could you give us a list of all the people that you're fighting with and you don't get along with? Who doesn't follow you on Twitter? Does it really come up that much?
I don't know. I mean, I think that, first of all, can we just say in regards to Andy and Reagan, can they just... look, I love you too. I love both of them. Can you have sex and just get it over with?
Is that like, what it is? This is seriously. Like a Sam and Diane Cheers
oh
thing?
Oh my God. Like, just do it already. You know, like, how long have we been waiting? 2 years now?
They're the Jim and Pam of social media?
Yes. I can't stand it. Of course, I really don't know what they would be doing. There's whatever. Bumping. Yeah, whatever. Okay. Anyway, moving on. The point being that I understand what Andy's doing. I agree with what you said to us in the Patreon group.
Let me float another theory.
Okay, oh, yes. So float your theory. Right. Yes.
So let me throw out another theory here, because here's what doesn't compute to me. Andy, and he has not asked for any consulting from Rob Has a PR Firm, which I would have been very I would have certainly offered my services to Zach Rantz if he would have contacted me during the whole evil dick fiasco from a couple of weeks ago. But if he would have come to me, I would have said that maybe this isn't such a great idea. But Andy is such a smart guy. He's a Big Brother winner. He played a fantastic game. Right. I was a fan of his game, even though I know it drove a lot of people crazy on TV. He's a great guest on the show. I know he's a smart guy. He's a funny guy. So I have to think he has the foresight to say, okay, this is what, if I do A, B will happen. I can see that because he's a great Big Brother player. Mm-hmm. So is Andy not so much fighting with these people that are on this list, but is Andy fighting the perception that he is a boring player, a uninteresting player, and is he going out of his way to show people, hey, I'm not a boring player. You want excitement? You want to see drama back in that house? Look at me. Look at all these feuds that I'm in. I'd be the perfect person to put back in the house because I'm bringing the drama.
Exactly. I think, well, so you think the game is afoot.
I'm saying, and I feel like these people that are getting upset about it might be taking it hook, line, and sinker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, first of all, I don't know if that's what's going on. I think there's definitely a possibility that Andy just tends to go off on people and he just wanted to go after Reagan because he sees him as Reagan's what we call an a-gay, where he's just like, you know, he's above it all and can't be bothered with the people.
As in one gay? He's a gay?
No, like you're an A-plus gay. Like he's an a-gay. Like it's the uppity gays, you know, the people that look down upon the masses and, you know, they dress wrong, they talk wrong, they're educated wrong, and he can't be bothered with it. So okay. That's why Andy gets annoyed with Reagan, because Reagan won't give him any props. It's just that they just can't get along. I don't know why. Like I said, have sex, get it over with, we'll all be happy.
Okay.
But I do agree with you that there is something going on with Andy in terms of why he felt the need to put this out. I think that Andy thinks he played a phenomenal game. And by the way, I want to just say really quickly, because I did kind of, not that he cares what I think, but I did sort of dog his game back in Big Brother 15, but his game is like a fine wine.
Oh, it aged?
Yeah, or like a hot leather daddy or something. Like it gets better with age, you know? I mean, it feels really good, you know, as years have gone on, you look back on it, you're like, wow, it's pretty good now, you know. I do appreciate his game for what it is now. I don't really know if I could appreciate it back then, though.
Yeah.
But I think he's definitely up to if the game is afoot, he's up to what you think he's doing, which is trying to stay relevant, trying to fight with people. He doesn't want CBS and Julie Chen to think that he is, you know, the guy who's going to be friends with everybody. He says, you know, put me back in the house.
Fireworks.
Yeah, I'll give you what you want, you know. And I think Andy's smart enough to know that his brand of play last time is not going to work this time. Like people are going to talk. They're not going to be as stupid as the people in Big Brother 15 were. So I think he knows that if I go back in the house, I'm going to have to play a certain way. It's going to be forced on me to play a certain way. So I might as well start playing it that way now.
Okay. I was going to float out a second theory of, do you think that Reagan is in on it all? But we won't even, that'll be for another podcast another time. I want to end up talking about stuff from the spoilers. So I'm going to play the buzzer here in just a second. Of course, Wednesday night on the show, we're going to be speaking with Audrey and Clay. That's going to be a very fun podcast coming up. I'm really looking forward to that. I'm also going to be dropping a off-season Survivor podcast on you guys on Tuesday with Yay. Jessica Lease, that I talked about all the different twists that might or might not work in the U.S. version of Survivor. Jess has studied 48 different international survivors and has come up with the best and the worst of what they're doing in other countries on Survivor. So that's going to be a fun show for you guys on Tuesday. All right, before we get to the live feeds, let me take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. Those are friends over at LegalZoom, because there's lots of great reasons that smart business people trust LegalZoom. For starters, if you want to incorporate, form an LLC, a nonprofit, file a patent or a trademark, get a DBA or more, LegalZoom provides the help you need, because for over the past decade, more than a million business owners just like you have started with LegalZoom. It's your first stop when you need advice from an attorney. I don't know if they would have given Andy social media advice either if he would have contacted them, but I'm sure somebody at LegalZoom might have said, you know what? Type out that letter, print it, put it in a drawer, wait 5 days, and then come back and read it again. I think that's the kind of advice you would get at LegalZoom. But remember, LegalZoom is not a law firm. They've built a network of independent attorneys in most states, including Rado, to provide legal advice and other useful services to help you run your business. So when you need a contract reviewed or advice on whether you should incorporate or form an LLC, whatever your questions, start with LegalZoom. They provide complete transparency, upfront pricing, customer reviews, and 100% satisfaction guarantee. So make the smart choice for your business at LegalZoom.com today. And don't forget to enter ROB at checkout to save even more. Again, that's ROB at checkout for more savings. LegalZoom, legal help is here, and so are our spoilers on the Monday voicemail show.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler
warning.
A spoiler
warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Yes, that's right. All right, time to talk about the spoilers. Just a couple of spoiler questions for you. Real quick, Brent, update us on the power of veto.
Oh, I'm sorry. You know, I'm sorry, guys. When I was trying to cover before, I'm sure you heard me. Like, I started to spoil the fact that Liz had won the veto. Obviously, they didn't use the power of veto today. Johnny Mac and Becky remain on the block. And at this moment,
you know, I think I even mentioned that Liz won the veto. I'm sorry, it's such a by the book week that I forgot that the veto hasn't happened.
I started to spoil it, and I was like, oh, I started to spoil it. Yeah. And Liz won the veto. Johnny Mac and Becky are on the block, and as of now, it looks like Becky's going to go home. And Becky, here's the thing. Becky knows she's going to go home because she hasn't gotten assurances from anybody that she's not going home. But this is the thing I want to talk about, though. You know, stop me if you have a question about it, but I want to talk about it. Because she was caught on the live feeds saying that, well, I don't want to really cause a ruckus. I don't want to uncover everything that I know because it's better for me to be quiet this week if I'm going to go home because I have a chance to return. So the fact that Julie Chen and CBS told the Big Brother house guests that there would be someone coming back from jury is robbing us of some fabulous television and some potentially game-changing gameplay at this point.
Yeah, that's interesting. Why do they feel the need to tell them?
I don't know. Maybe they could just tell us. That's the thing. Like, I think that they're worried about it looking fair, but all she has to do is tell us, like, you know, the house guests don't know this, but we're going to bring somebody back in 4 weeks from now. But by telling the house guests,
that's a good point.
It changes their gameplay, and then it changes the game from something they would have done to something they change it and say, well, I don't want to do that because what if they come back? And they're not supposed to know that.
That's fair. It's a good point. They shouldn't do that. Okay. Let's take our first spoiler question. And this is from our good friend down in Miami, home of the Big Brother twins, Liz and Julia. Here is Umberto.
Yay.
Hey, Rob and Brent. This is Umberto calling from Miami. Hope you guys are having a good time.
Woo.
So in regards to Vanessa, what is she thinking? Besides giving me a headache, what is she really thinking of what to do?
Shame.
She really wants to get to the final five with us twins and Steve. Does she really think that she can get to the final two against us twins that are not going to betray each other? I mean, how? I guess she's trying to get Johnny Mac, but that's not going to happen. And she realizes that she needs more people and she's not going to be able to get them. It's a little too late. I need the reasons. Why is Vanessa thinking? What's her plan? All right, love to hear what you think.
Okay, Brent. Could you help us figure out what is Vanessa really up to?
I don't think that Vanessa knows what she's up to. I really don't. I think Vanessa was so blindsided about what happened last week that she's still recovering. I don't think that she has a plan moving forward. I think that she thinks, and rightfully so, I heard her on the feeds talking that she was hinting to Steve that someone, possibly they could go after the Austin and the twins, but she's being, she just can't seem to own that. I think maybe she could do it now that the veto ceremony took place, because I know last night on the feed, she was worried that people were shunning her, like Enzo. And so they were like, you know, they weren't talking to her. So she was afraid she was going to be backdoored today, like what happened last week. So maybe as the week goes on, she'll be able to talk more freely now that she knows she's out of danger. I don't know what her plan is moving forward. I'm with Umberto in this one. I think that she realizes that she probably needs Johnny Mac, but it's unfortunate that Johnny Mac can't seem to put on a happy face and sort of pretend that he likes Vanessa, because I think she would go with him at this point. I think she knows she needs some numbers, and he just seems incapable of that. I am hopeful that if Johnny Mac wins HOH next week, which may be a tall order, he doesn't seem to be that into the game right now. I'm hoping he realizes that targeting Vanessa is a bad idea. He's saying that to Austin and the twins, but it's a bad idea for him. Because if he does their dirty work, then they're continuing on in the game, and that's a threesome that you just can't break up. They'll use Johnny Mac to get rid of Vanessa and be the, you know, the friends on the side going, well, you know, we're supporting you, but there's nothing we can do. I don't know that she has a great plan moving forward. I think she probably has faith in her own abilities to win when it counts, but that's not a plan. That's a hope.
Tell me if you think that this is a fair read on Johnny Mac. And I touched on this last night with Shelley. Johnny Mac, to me, seems like the kind of guy who doesn't like anything or anybody who's fake. And I do feel like Johnny Mac would rather go out of the house than be fake and work with somebody he doesn't like in the game. Fair or unfair statement?
Fair statement right now. I'm hoping that changes moving forward, but right now he can't, like, as we say in the gay community, he can't be bothered with Vanessa. Like, he's so over her at this point. Like, he can't even stand to look at her at this point. He cannot fake it, which is sort of intriguing from a watching feeds point of view, but from a game point of view, that's terrible, because I actually do think Vanessa wants to work with him. You heard her in the diary room on the Sunday show saying, you know, I want to work with this guy going forward. He's doing everything he can to make him a target to me.
So, no!
I go back and forth. It's either a testament to how well Austin and the twins are playing, or it's an indictment of how badly everybody else is playing right now.
And if he doesn't like the person genuinely, can he work with that person?
I would like to think so, but he hasn't shown any real ability to do that going forward. I mean, looking back, I mean, the people that he's worked with are the people that he's liked. Clay and Shelley were his rocks, apparently. I heard him. He's still depressed about that. Like, apparently he cried when Clay lost the veto. Like, I'm kind of thinking that maybe the guy that I fell in love with, Johnny Mac, is not the guy that I think he is. Like, I think he's not that big of a gamer. Like, I'm talking to his friend Joe, who runs his Twitter account,
yeah,
who said that, you know, he thinks he's going to turn it on and he's a big fan of the show and everything. I keep waiting for that guy to come out. But where the hell is he? We're down to 8 people after this week.
Is Johnny Mac a Holden Caulfield type character in Big Brother, one who just despises phonies and doesn't want to work with them and would rather stay true to himself, go down with the ship? We saw him didn't he vote to keep Jeff at a certain point this season, right?
Right.
Like,
right.
He just seems to me like he's almost has a line in the sand of things he's not willing to do. Hey, if the numbers come back in his favor, or if he gets HOH, he'll go after his targets. But he's just not willing to scramble in any way or put his integrity on the line, which is commendable. But if we're talking about people that win Big Brother, it's very difficult to win this game without sacrificing some bit of your integrity over a 98-day season.
Right. I'm actually, you know, I'll admit that I'm a bit disappointed in him right now, because he just seems like he's kind of like wants to take his ball and go home. And, you know, let's be real for a second. You know, this guy is he's a dentist. He's got a life ahead of him. He doesn't need these people. So maybe he's just like, I'm over it. I think the house is starting to get to him a little bit at this point too. And that's an issue that we've seen people deal with in the past. He can't go anywhere. He can't get away from these people. And I think he just doesn't have it in him to be fake to the people that he really doesn't like. And the people who are being fake to him, he has no use for. And that he's got to have use for them, though. Like, he's, like I said, you know, I have hope that if he gets HOH, he'll look at the numbers and go, okay, I can't do Austin and the twins' dirty work for them. But given the way he's acted all week, I think he may actually go after Vanessa if he wins HOH. And that would just be a terrible move.
Yeah, I definitely get the sense that he would do that.
Yeah, that's disappointing.
Yeah,
really. Yeah.
I'm seeing in Periscope that somebody is saying that Johnny Mac has scrambled this week. Did you feel like that's the case?
Well, you know, he's to a point. I mean, he's scrambled in that, you know, he's made sure that Austin and the twins know he's going to go after Vanessa, but he's also said he's not going to campaign against Becky. He told James and Meg today that they could vote to keep Becky. Hello, there's only six people voting. Like, you're telling two people.
I mean, just to be fair, well, what I'm saying is that I don't think he's trying to quit the game.
No, I don't think so either.
But if it came down to it, if the choice was work with Vanessa or go out, or throw Becky under the bus or go out, I don't think he's willing to do the things that he feels like will compromise his integrity.
I agree. And that's disappointing.
And that doesn't make him a bad guy.
Right. No, he's a great guy, but he's a terrible game player.
And terrible's the wrong word, because he could still well win this game.
But in spite of himself, though, Rob, not because of himself.
Look, it happens. And if he gets to the position where he can, and we've seen him win comps, so let's not say that it's beyond him to start winning HOHs. He's only won vetoes so far, though. Right. But if he gets to the end, he's incredibly dangerous because he's so likable. And if you could just imagine a scenario, you see him up there in the final two and somebody has like a serious question and it's like, John, what did you do to get to this point? Like, I don't know, stuff. Like, and everybody's laughing like, Oh, Johnny Mac, you killed it.
I saw someone on Periscope saying that a Johnny Mac win would be unsatisfying. And at this point in time, I'm starting to kind of agree with that. And I would never have said that 3 weeks ago. You know, I love Johnny Mac going up until this point, and I'm still a fan of him, but he has got to get his hands dirty at this point. He has got to look at the numbers and start playing the game. You don't get to play Big Brother on your terms. You have to play Big Brother on the game's terms, and he seems to be unwilling to confront that.
It'll be interesting to see how this all plays out these next couple of weeks. He's a very dangerous jury threat.
I agree, but it depends on who he's up against. And like I said, you have to feel good about the person that you're giving the money to. And I think he is sort of likable, but I worry that they might not take him seriously enough. But it depends on who he's up against.
If he gets there, they'll take him serious. I think so. I don't think he's going to there by being somebody that somebody dragged him to the end. Let's go ahead. Although I thought the same thing about Godfrey, to be honest. Let's go ahead. And this is another spoiler related question. This is from Andrew. Wants to know about looking forward into next week. If you can look into your crystal ball for this one.
Hey, Robin, Ren, this is Andy Kirk from Modesto, California. My question is, if the other side of the house wins HOH next week, who do you guys think their target will be? Will they go for the automatic one in Vanessa? Or would it be better for them to target one of the twins or Austin? Personally, I think they should leave Vanessa one more week, because if there's a jury buyback, it'd be better off for them to get rid of her the following week just to not give her a second chance just to send her straight to jury without her coming back. We'd love to hear your guys' thoughts.
Okay, Brent. The other side of the house, which let's just real quick reset that. Who would you define as the other side of the house?
I think the other side of the house would be defined as anybody that's not in the scamper squad. So James, Meg, Johnny Mac, and Becky, who probably is going to be evicted. So I guess he's talking about James, Meg, or Johnny Mac.
Are they all thinking to go for Vanessa?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, like, I'm sort of fighting against what I know they're thinking and what I hope they're thinking. I know they're thinking... Johnny Mac saying, you know, I'm going to go after Vanessa. Meg and James can't wait to get Vanessa out. But I do agree with him that Vanessa is not the move this week. You know, Vanessa, you need to leave Vanessa in the game right now. Her credibility is slowly eroding, which people have noted that in the house. And I don't think that people take anything she says really seriously. And like I said, I don't think she's that big of a threat at the end. She's terrible in physical comps. I don't think she's made any bonds with the people who are currently on the jury. I don't think that they would vote for her. I think they would look at her like, I think they would look at her like the girl who betrayed them all, and they don't feel good about giving her the money. And there's a lot of likable people in the house who could sit next to her and be like, well, you can feel good about giving me the money, you know?
If the scamper squad side of the house won HOH, who would their next target be?
Wow, that's tough. You know, it's so funny. Austin is in the Twins were considering throwing HOH, which I think is a terrible idea. You never know. You know, you've seen week to week the target can change, and whoever is the first target rarely ends up being the target. So I don't know who they would target. I think that probably they would go after Johnny Mack, because I think that Austin wants to hold true to this deal with James and Meg, and rightfully so, because they're two perfect people to take to the end. James is never going to win any of these vetoes coming down the stretch, and Meg can't move faster than a 62-year-old. So I don't know why they would want to go with anybody else but them at this point.
Okay.
Someone saying on Periscope that Austin might go after Vanessa. Austin and the Twins don't want to be the ones to have to do that. And by the way, I heard them talking on the feeds today that they may want to leave Vanessa in the game until, again, this is how I hate them telling them the twist. They may want to leave Vanessa in the game until after the returning juror comes back, because who knows who it could be. And Vanessa is someone that is currently not coming after them.
Okay. She's a meat shield.
Yeah. And she's not coming after them, by the way. Yeah.
Last question for you, Brent,
all right,
today. It's a big one. Let's go to Josh Lemer.
Hi, Rob and Brent. This is Josh Lemer. And my question is, now that Vanessa's game has kind of blown up on her, mm-hmm. who do you think is playing the best game in the house? Because from what I've seen, based on his ability to intermingle with different alliances and provide reasoning for who to put up, I honestly think that the person in the best position right now is Austin. Do you agree or disagree, and who would you put in that spot? All right, bye.
All right, let's go full circle. We started with Austin. Josh brings up Austin as his winner pick. Brent, let's talk about it. With how many people are left in the house now? Final nine?
Well, currently there's nine, but after, if Becky is presumably evicted, there'll be eight people left.
Okay, final nine. We're about halfway home because we had 17 people in this season, somewhere between eight and nine. So here we are. Who is the winner of this season of Big Brother? And Periscope, let me see who you're saying to.
Well, it's so funny. People keep asking questions and they give their own answers. I actually do think that Austin is a viable winner pick at this point.
But who is your winner pick?
My winner pick, my brain is telling me that Steve is the winner of this season.
Steve.
Yes. And I said that a long time ago, actually. I think you thought I said Audrey. I said Audrey among the women, but I said Steve overall. If you go back to that podcast.
We'll go back and take a look at that. Uh-huh. Rob Stack Checker is queuing it up right now.
Yes, please go back and look at that. But I do think that my brain is telling me Steve will win. My gut is telling me that Austin will win, but my heart wants James to win. So, you know, that's where I can tell you right now.
Okay. So wait, that was a lot of picks.
Okay. Well, I mean, I think that probably Steve or Austin is going to win, but my heart of hearts, I want James to win. I would love to see him win.
You want to see James win? Why? What is it about James that makes you want to see him win so bad?
Oh, he just makes me smile. He makes the feed so enjoyable. He seems like a really good person, and that's hard to find among all these Mactors and people who were recruited into the house.
The Mactor.
He's so likable. I find it just impossible not to root for him. You know, I it does trouble me a little bit that he doesn't even want to study. He's just like, yeah, whatever. But I'm hoping that makes people want to take him further into the game, and maybe he can pull out some comp at the end where it's endurance related, or, you know, sometimes they'll do an endurance like at final seven or final six. So who knows? Who knows what can happen?
I'm going to go with the winner of this season will be you couldn't give a bad answer here,
right?
I'll just tell you where my head is thinking. Part of me is like, boy, Vanessa is going to keep this going. They think they're going to get rid of Vanessa. They're never going to be able to get rid of Vanessa. Vanessa is going to run this thing all the way down, and I think she's got a good shot. Part of me is saying, you know, Johnny Mack, that he is just about close enough. If he can get to final seven, I could see him going on a run here, and people aren't going to end up getting rid of him. Because
your answer is starting to sound like mine.
I know. That's because there's no obvious answer, and that's what makes it really fun. But let me go out on a limb here. I'll give you a kind of a kooky pick, which I did for my Survivor 31 pick that I did on Periscope a couple weeks ago. give me, because this is like when you go to Vegas and you have these people, like if you ever bet on the Jets to win the Super Bowl and they give you like 200-1 odds, give me Julia.
I knew that's what you were going to say. Yeah. Because Liz is always going to be the first one evicted of, you would think, of right. the Twins because they want to split up Austin and Julia. And I can see her being a winner. I think there's a big argument against her. You know, she only spent half the time in the house for the first 5 weeks. I mean, come on, that you got to at least acknowledge that.
You can acknowledge it, but I mean, she's already got her sister is on the jury. Austin is on the jury. That's two votes right there.
Yeah, it would be better if it was a 7-person jury. It's a 9-person jury. And also, you know, we still have this thing going. I want to see somebody break it. We have never seen in Big Brother US where a man loses to a woman in the final two. And I'm hoping that maybe it will break it this season, but it's never happened. You know, the only time a woman has won Big Brother in the United States is when she's been up against another woman. So, well, let's see if Vanessa can do it. I think Vanessa, I'm not as high on Vanessa's game as you are. I think she's more like Amanda from Big Brother 15, where she's just making all sorts of these deals. She thinks she's the arc of integrity of her season, and she's sorely delusional about everything. She thinks she's controlling everybody, but everybody really wants her out. Like, I don't see a world where Vanessa can win this game.
In a world where Vanessa can win Big Brother.
Where she hasn't. People don't like Vanessa, Rob. How is she going to win 5 votes if people don't like her?
If anybody can do it in this house, it's her. Because she's going to be sitting there with the biggest floater that she can find. I think that she can do it if she gets there.
Okay. Well, if she's up against...
And she can talk and she'll make an emotional argument. And if you don't vote for her, it's like bullying. I think that she will be a tough person to beat. I think anybody would be foolish. The interesting one to see would be sort of like Steve with Vanessa in the final two.
Steve in a heartbeat. Steve 8-1.
Wow.
No way that they're going to not give Steve the money. You'd feel good about giving Steve the money. You'd hate to give Vanessa the money. And she's so full of herself, and they know that. Did you see that speech she did on eviction night? What the hell was she saying?
Like, yeah, about her, my diary. I wrote 10 years ago in my journal.
Oh, my God. Shut up already.
Things not to do in your speech during the eviction. One, quote yourself from the journal that you wrote 10 years ago. Let's start there. Two, wish happy birthday to house guests that aren't even in the jury.
I was so over it. Like, she was so terrible, and she thought it was so good.
Yeah.
So if she gets to the end, I can only imagine how bad she's going to be.
That's possible.
8-1 is generous.
Yeah, 8-1 is generous. I think you're selling her short a bit.
Okay, we'll see.
We'll see.
I've been wrong.
All right, Brent. Great job. Brent will be back with us this Thursday with Ian Terry live after the next eviction when we say goodbye to either Becky or Johnny Mac this Thursday night on Rob is a Podcast, 10:15 p.m. Eastern Time, 7:15 p.m. I don't know if anybody watches Pacific Time, but I'll say what it is. So that's that. You can also follow Brent on Twitter. He's at OneLuckyGay on Twitter. Of course, we will be live again Wednesday night with Audrey and Clay. Very excited for that show. That's going to be at 9:15 p.m. Eastern Time this Wednesday night as well. So very, very exciting week. And then, of course, we will get to send in our email questions to whoever gets evicted looking like Becky. So we will be working on our Becky questions for now. If you want to get in your ideas for a question, anything that we might not be thinking of, send them to Brent on Twitter or Alex or Taryn. And then we will get them in our Google document that we work on all week long.
Excellent. Thank you, Rob, for having me. I love doing the voicemails. I love all the people on Periscope out there. So it was a really fun time.
Fun time. Really appreciate everything. Yeah, thanks everybody who watched us live on Periscope today to take the voicemails. Thanks to the voicemail callers. I thought we had some fun calls today. Very, very good stuff. Do you think that we made the Andy beef list in this episode?
I hope not.
I hope not too. I feel like this is what I do. This is my job to talk about what's going on in the world. I feel like we can talk about things I don't think we came down on anybody that was involved.
Right. I think Andy is the guy who doesn't take things too seriously. We're not taking this too seriously. It's like, come on, it's reality television, you know? I mean, come on. And, you know, I love his game, especially as the years have gone on. It's only been 2 years, but I do really love it. Like, looking back on it, I still can't even believe it worked. And, you know, you've been on the record of saying how much you love his game. So I can't imagine he's going to be disappointed by anything we say. And if the only person who might be disappointed by what I said is Reagan, but I don't follow him on Twitter anyway.
Okay. All right. That being said, thank you guys so much. Looking forward to hearing your comments on robhasawebsite.com. And as always, thanks to everybody who remembers to use our link for shopping on Amazon.com whenever they make a purchase. robhasawebsite.com/Amazon. It helps support all of these podcasts and helps keep the nonsense going. Hope you have a good one, everybody. We'll talk to you again soon. Take care.